For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. We will call him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, El Shaddai, El Rohi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Yahshua, Yamashiach. You call him Jesus. I am John, son of Zebedee. I was sent to tell you about this man that I encountered by the name of Jesus, a man like no other I've ever met, a man that showed me things I've never seen before, a man full of grace and truth, of glory, because he was the Son of the Father. I remember that day that he came to me. And he called me along with my brother. And he said, follow me. I could not resist. The call was too strong. A man that I did not know, a man I had never seen before, told me to follow him. And I felt compelled to do as he said. I left my father's boat and I followed Jesus. And as I followed him, I began to love him. He loved me. I was known as the beloved disciple. I remember that night that I lay upon his breast as we were at supper. And he whispered something in my ear I did not understand. But tonight I want to share with you why we have this Son of God, this man named Jesus. Many of you know him, but I got to touch him. I got to walk with him. And yes, he was like a shepherd as well. For it didn't matter where you were, he would reach out his crook and pull you into him. Pulling you into love, pulling you into mercy, pulling you into compassion. That's why I loved him. He loved me. He chose me, not knowing who I was. I was not fit, but he chose me anyway. Just like many of you, he chose you anyway. This man Jesus, when I wrote the book of John, I could not help but to reveal who he really was. I know Matthew wrote about him as a king. I know Luke wrote about him in his humanity. And I know Mark wrote about him as being a servant. But I felt compelled to share that he was more than a mere man. He was more than a servant. He was more than just a king. He was God. And he came and he dwelt among us. Do you understand what it means to have God living in your presence? Do you understand what it means to have him walk with you, talk with you? Do you understand what it means to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sup with you? I dare not try to tell you what I felt as I walked with him for those 3.5 years. This man you call Jesus, he was given to us as a gift. from the Father. A gift like no other. A gift that had more value than anyone could measure. A gift. And it was given to us freely. I remember the stories that they told of the fathers of old. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I remember the stories that they told of their fathers and mother. And I remember they said something about someone named Adam and Eve. And how they incurred the wrath of Almighty God because they fell from His grace. I still did not quite understand. But then I remember that day that He hung on the cross. I remember that day as His mother Mary sat there weeping. I remember that day when they stretched Him out on a wooden cross. I remember that day as He cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Father, why have You forsaken me? I could only hang my head because I knew that I had forsaken Him as well. But then a glorious thing happened. There came a story, and I couldn't help but to find out if it was true. The one who had come to be the Messiah, the Savior of our people. They said He was no longer dead, but they said He had rose again from the dead. And I began to remember He told us that I would rise again. We did not understand what He meant, but He told us that He would rise again. Everything He said was true. Everything that He said, it happened. And I still did not understand. Many years have gone since this man Jesus has walked this earth. But the one thing that I've come to understand, He came because of us. He came for us. But the one thing that I understood the most, He came because of our sin. When Adam and Eve fell from the grace of God, they brought all of mankind down to their condemnation. And we, for many years, had been crying for a Savior to save us from the oppression of the Romans. Our forefathers cried out to save them from oppression from the Egyptians. And for many years, they still cried out to be saved from their troubles. But the one thing that I think we failed to cry for is to be saved from our sins. We were looking for Him to come as a king to fight on our behalf. We were ready with our swords. But that's not the way that He wanted to do it. I remember when Peter got so zealous that he cut off the man's ear. But Jesus told him, "No, put it away." And He replaced the man's ear back to his head. I've seen Him do many things like that. And I'm still in awe of how He was able to do all that He did. Even loving us the way that He did. I watched them as they spit on Him, but He still loved them. I watched them as they beat Him, but He still loved them. I watched them as they ridiculed Him, but He still loved them. And He loves you too. No matter what you've done, no matter how you treated Him, He still loves you. I hear you celebrate something called Christmas. The coming of Christ. But do you really understand why He came? He came because of sin. If there had not been any sin, there would be no need for him to come. The world would still be perfect. We would still enjoy walking with the Father in the garden. But because we fail, but because we have fallen short of his glory, he had to send his son Jesus. They tell me that John cried out in the wilderness, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And they tell me as John spoke that Jesus came across the horizon and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But I noticed one thing that they said. John said that he said, "Who comes to take away the sins of the world?" It was the sin that Jesus was dealing with. It was the sin that God wanted to rid us of. It was the sin that he wanted to take the punishment away. It was sin that we have the Messiah. It was a sin that brought God into this world. How can I dare continue in sin? How can I dare continue to go against the will of the Father? I understand that the gift that was given to me and the gift that was given to you was the greatest gift of all. He paid a price that no man could pay. God gave what no man is willing to give. Dare I had a child, I would not have given. And I'm sure that many of you would not give your children. But God was willing. Jesus was willing. And he came. And he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We watched him grow. We watched him become a man. But as we were watching him, we were watching the Lamb of God being raised and prepared to be executed. He was that once and for all sacrifice for all of the sins of mankind. The sins of my day, the sins of your day, that once and for all sacrifice took care of it all. I beg of you, as you celebrate this thing you call Christmas, remember that Jesus came to deal with sin. I know you celebrate his coming. I know you give gifts to one another. But don't forget, it was sin that brought him here. It was sin that put him on a cross. It was sin that shed his blood. But he was a willing sacrifice. He was willing to be the best gift you've ever gotten. The best gift that I've ever gotten. To walk with him. Talk with him. To see the many miracles that he did. Never once did he complain. Even when we were complaining and grumbling, he would always find a way to quiet us. I remember once when we went out and we began to do great things in his name. We got so excited, we came back and we said, "Father, Jesus, the demons are subject unto us." But he brought us back to reality. He said, "Don't be excited about that. But be glad that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Excited that our names are written in the Lamb's book. Excited that we have a right to be with the Father. Not that we were doing some great things, but that we knew this one called the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. it's time for me to go. But I just wanted to share with you what I experienced when I was with this man named Jesus. And I beg of you, never forget why he came. Never forget he's the best gift you'll ever receive. Never forget he came to dwell among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace, full of truth, and yes, full of mercy. Because he had compassion on the likes of you and me. And when I think of him, and all that he did in my presence, I cannot help but to bow in worship of him. Yahshua, Yamashiach, my God, my Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I compel you, don't ever forget the real reason for the season. It's not just Jesus, but it's Jesus also coming to deal with our sins. And I just want to share with you, I just spent 2 hours before I got here, dressed this way, talking to a bunch of kids. And I was asked to do it, but I was not necessarily given any kind of instructions. And when I got there and I asked, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? And I still didn't get really any instructions. Well, you can be over there, or you can be down here. You can just mingle around. You know what I decided to do? Mingle around. Children of all ages, her age, his age, her age. And as I walked around, I kind of like, well, am I just going to walk around the whole 2 hours or what? But God began to press in my spirit, and I asked a question as I would encounter these young people, and I would ask them, have you seen Jesus? And I got a whole lot of confused looks. But I would ask, have you seen Jesus? And I would just walk up and, have you seen Jesus? I'm looking for Jesus. Have you seen him? You haven't? Do you know where he is? You don't know where he is? Have you seen him? You haven't? Have you seen him? And they gave the answer that many of those children gave. Have you seen Jesus? They would look at me confused, and some would say, no, I haven't seen him. But many of them I would ask, do you know where he is? I said, what's that? He's in the sky. He's in heaven. When they answered he's in heaven, I would say, well, how can I get there? And many of them looked at me confused again. I even had one young man tell me that I needed a dinosaur. One told me that I needed a horse. And I said, horses can go to heaven? I said, do they fly? Yeah, they got wings. Okay. You need a giant elephant. Giant elephant. Okay. Now, these were answers that I was getting. I say, is there any other way that I can get there? I don't know. And then some would be with their parents. And I would ask them that question. Have you seen Jesus? And they would say, no. Do you know where he is? Yeah, he's in heaven. And when I ask, how do I get there? The parent would kick in. You know how to get there. And they would still be looking like, I don't. Answers. You have to go to church every Sunday. You have to be really good and do good things. That sounds good, but it's not right. You can go to church every Sunday. You can do good deeds and still, as some used to tell me, bust hell wide open. I said, is that all it takes? The parent would kick in again. You got to repent. They began to coach him. Now, I was dare say some of these parents were kind of shocked and maybe amazed. But I think we take for granted that our children are understanding. But one thing we have to ask ourselves, do we understand the gospel? Do we understand what it takes in order to get to heaven? And as I shared with the men and men Bible study one night, I said, if God was to come down right now and ask you, why should I let you in? What would be your answer? That's the question we ought to be able to answer. If you can answer that question, you shouldn't have any worries. Amen. Yes, we do the wave in Bible study. But it's an important question that most of us may not know the answer to. What would I tell God is the reason that he should let me in? Because of Jesus. But then he's going to ask you another question. What did you do with Jesus? I asked him to be my Lord and Savior. God, you should let me in because I trusted Christ to save my soul. I trusted him to be my Lord and my Savior. That's why you should let me in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on in. But if you try to say, because I went to church every Sunday, that won't get it. If you try to say, because I was working on the usher board, or I was a deacon, or I was an elder, that won't get it. I sang my heart out every Sunday. That won't get it. I prayed the rain down one Saturday night at Saturday Night Alive. That won't get it. You got to know what you did with the sun. The Son has come to many of us. The question is, what have we done with him? Did we accept him or did we reject him? And I would dare say, if you read your Bible, one thing that you will find out, Jesus was rejected more than he was accepted. Just read your Bible, you'll find it. But it just kind of blew my mind as I was talking to these children. Some of them now were pretty well equipped and they understood, but the thing that kind of broke my heart, and if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I probably would have went somewhere and cried. There were three young ladies, maybe her age, a little maybe a year or two younger than her maybe, and I asked them that question and they said, he's in heaven. And I said, how do I get there? Well, you got to die. Is that all? I have to die? And so I tried to help them out a little bit. I said, well, what about repenting? Well, yeah. I said, but repent from what? I said, you ever heard of sin? She thought I said Santa. Oh, he's the one that gives. No. I said sin. And a look came over her face as if I'd never heard that word before. And at that moment, I could have just went somewhere and just wept for that child, because these three young ladies said they never heard of sin. And at first, I'm thinking, this is not, they don't understand. I said, sin. You know what sin is, right? Three young ladies that don't know what sin is. And I would dare say that's most of our young generation. They don't have an understanding of sin. And if they don't have an understanding of sin, they're in a world of trouble. And because these three young ladies didn't understand what sin, I went on and explained to them what sin was. And I met some other young men, and I asked them the question too about sin, and they kind of gave me the same look. And I'm like, you ever messed up? One young man, he just kept with his story, said, no, he's never messed up. Never gotten in trouble. I wanted to. But he said he's never messed up. And I was like, okay, he doesn't understand sin. You ever gotten in trouble? Nope. Never. Nope. In your entire life. Well, gotcha. You've messed up. And then when I explained to them, do you know the penalty of sin? The punishment of sin? Time out? No. No, it's worse than a whooping. And I bent down. Death. When you sin, you should have died. They didn't believe it. I said, but God sent his son Jesus to die for you. And because he died for you, he took your sins away. I said, now, and many of them, I would go back and rehearse. I said, now, you mean to tell me what you're telling me is in order me to get to Jesus, I got to repent of my sins. I got to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yeah. Now, by this time, the expert said it. Yep, that's it. Yep, that's what you do. And then I believe in the Son. Yep. I believe he died for my sins. Yep. And then I can go to heaven. Yep. How long do I get to stay there? Some of them were kind of smart. You get to stay forever. I said, forever? Forever. I said, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. And then I would say, have you accepted that deal yet? Some of them said, yep. Some of them said, no. I said, you know what? If you haven't accepted that deal, you need to. Because I hope to see you one day in heaven. But again, I understand we have Christmas. I love Christmas. It's about one of the only times of year that I get off from work. I love Christmas. I love the idea of Christmas. It brings us together. It brings love and warmth into the homes. Folk that are fussing and fighting manage to get along for at least one day. Some of them. Folk that are not speaking to each other manage to say something nice to each other for at least one day. And then New Year's come. But that one time a year, we often think about others. We make our focus on giving into the lives of others. The best gift you can give, share the gospel. It's a gift you can give all year long. A gift you can give all year long. Sheep beget sheep. Shepherds don't get sheep. They take care of them. They watch over them. But it takes other sheep to make another sheep. Amen. So as you go out through the year, share the gospel. Share the good news. See if you can make another sheep. And when they come in, the shepherd will take care of them. The shepherd will feed them. The shepherd will bring some correction when needed. But you got to do the bringing. Amen? But I just want you to remember, always understand the reason for the season. Like I said, it's not my intent to mess Christmas up for you. Actually, I want to make it better for you. Because when you come downstairs and you walk in or however you get to that tree, go with the mindset, Christ died for me. The reason he had to come to this world is because of sin. And I know by the time you get to the tree with that on your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to be down and he died. But no, because there was good news after that. By the time you get to the tree, you should realize he rose again with all power in his hand. He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Anytime the accuser goes before God, Sharon messed up. Jesus said, Father, it's under the blood. Cindy messed up. Father, it's under the blood. Jim messed up. Jesus steps in and said, Father, it's under the blood. Satan cannot accuse you because Jesus stands on your behalf. He argues your case. And he's never, ever, ever lost. The best lawyer you could ever have. The best lawyer you could ever have. When you're in trouble, call him. You don't need a bail bondsman. Call him. Let us bow. Father, I thank you for this time that we've shared. I thank you for this hour. And I thank you, God, that you gave the best gift of all. I pray, God, that we will always remember and reflect on the fact that because we are sinful individuals, you had to leave a glorious throne. You had to leave majesty and come down into a wretched world and give. Give to those who would reject you. Give to those who did not deserve. But you loved us so much that you gave it anyway. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for that gift. I pray, God, that if there's anybody here that has not accepted your gift, if you have not accepted the gift of Christ, if you've not done anything with the Son, I ask you, if God came today and said, why should I let you into heaven? What would be your answer? If you are without that gift, I just ask you to repeat this prayer. Father, I have sinned. I've fallen short of your glory. I've not lived a life in connection with you, and I've not lived a life that is pleasing to you. I want a relationship with you. So I repent of my sins right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, oh God, to come into my life. I want the indwelling of your Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And God, I'll be so ever grateful. Then I pray, God, that you will begin to manifest your power and your presence in me. That as I go forward and live out this life here on earth, I will reflect the Son, Jesus the Christ. Father, forgive me. Save me. Come into my life. Make me a new creature. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I know you're probably looking around. You're saying, there's not many people here tonight. So what? I've often listened to a song that says, you don't need a majestic choir. You don't need an awesome voice. You don't even need to play a melodious instrument. Why? Because it said, he loves it when you worship him alone. There may be 20 people, but when I worship alone. I may be in the presence of you, but I'm worshiping alone. Because I'm not really concerned about you. I love you, but my focus is on my God. And if we all came together and worshiped in spirit and in truth, guess what? You got tonight what somebody else missed. You got tonight what somebody else will never be able to experience again. You got tonight. And even if you try to go back and tell them what you got, it still won't be the same. I thank God for you being here because you have a hunger. You have a thirst. You have a desire. Never lose it. Always let God be your well of living water. Amen. God bless you.